Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. And blessed Father's Day to each of us. Today is a special day in the life of the Church because we have five fathers who will be sharing as part of our panel conversation. It's going to be very meaningful. Just a couple announcements before we begin our service. First of all, if you're visiting for the first time or recently, I'd love the privilege of meeting you after service. There's also a welcome table on the other side of the bridge that you came in on, and someone from our team would be glad to meet you and share information about the church. There are several opportunities for spiritual growth in class this summer. You'll notice in the bulletin there's a class on the mysticism of John of the Cross and a reminder of our weekly Thursday work class, which is a wonderful opportunity for spiritual transformation and growth psychologically. You can read all about those offerings in the bulletin. And today we are introducing a new chant. It's our first chant. It's a new opening chant, and it's very simple. It's simply, Holy Spirit, come. So I invite you to close your eyes and turn this chant into a prayer of invocation for your experience today in worship. And I think we'll sense together, as we let the Spirit take us deep into our hearts, that it blesses all of us. So thank you for your presence here today. Let's take a moment in the silence and wish for contact with God's love in the way we need it today for each of us and those beside us. Amen.
Gospel in One Word.
Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Mother God, Creator of the heavens and the earth and giver of this and every moment of our lives, we thank you for drawing each of us together in this service of worship to experience the felt presence of your love moving through our bodies and our emotions and our thoughts. We ask that your Spirit would bless each of us with new information and influences that feed us deeply on our spiritual journeys, that send us home changed and transformed in just the way we need to hear today, that your Spirit would bless each of our lives and relationships and families and bring about great fruitfulness in love. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the holy living Trinity. Amen. Great to be together, guys, and thank you very much for your willingness to serve in this way. Last year, we did the Mother's Day panel, and so I thought it was balanced to do the Father's Day panel this year. And we have today the full spectrum of fatherhood, as I understand it, and we'll go down the row here, and they'll introduce one another, but we have Joe, who is about to be a father. Yeah. And then Herman, who is the grandfather among us. Yeah. And Martin, who represents kind of the college age kids. Ken, who's right in the middle of it. and Dennis represents the man who has had no biological children, but has been a spiritual father to many. So, what we're going to start out by doing is just to start with Martin Field, and they're going to share their name, they're going to share a little bit about their family, and then they're going to share how long they've been here at the church. So, Martin?
Guess what? My name is Martin Field, and we first stepped...
It's the right microphone.
Okay, thank you. We first stepped into this church about in 2008 by the grace of God, and I have two children. One is 22 and the other is 20, so we are empty nesters officially. And that's been a wonderful part of our journey, just that they have been able to move on with their lives and get out of the house in a way. So, and that's been a big adjustment, you know, actually for me and Tamara, obviously. A lot of you all have experienced that, I'm sure.
Does this work?
Should.
Okay. My name is Herman Vigil. I'm the oldest one here, 78 years old. I have three daughters.
Let's pause for a moment. Let's get one handheld microphone that's working. The right or the left? This one's working. This is the left handheld. We're just going to use this, guys.
Okay.
Okay?
And I have
three daughters.
Biological daughters and two from my second marriage to Alice, which has been a blessing. I joined the church in 1988. Let me see, and I, what else did you want to know?
That's good.
My name is Ken. Sandy and I found the church coming up on 19 years ago. We were married a little over 18 years ago. I've got three girls. 17, 15, and 12.
My name is Dennis, and I have been with the church in every location it's ever operated. Remember some of the history. In terms of family, Peter's right, no biological children, four stepchildren, four grandchildren, three great-grandchildren.
My name is Joe. My wife, Jamie, is 22 weeks pregnant today, so I'm 0.5. what did you say? And yeah, I've been going here for 3 years, and our community has my heart. So.
Thank you, guys. So we've got six questions that they've had in advance to prepare. And so we'll just go through these questions and see what happens. And so the first question is, tell us about the moment you first saw your first child after birth. What was it like for you? What did you think, feel, sense?
Oh my God. Well, it had been such a journey. It was such a relief, really. And as far as, you know, gee, I'm a father now by birthright. I had a lot of examples around me of what fatherhood was like, certainly my own father, my brother, my sister's husband. And so there's all these examples of what I'm getting into. And I'll maybe have a chance to speak a little bit more about that later. But it was such a relief. There were some complications. And so we were blessed that everything was fine. So I looked at Alex, our son, 22 now, and he's just crying and said, oh, wow, everything is really okay.
Is Alex
Thank
here
God.
Today?
He is.
Oh.
You know, I was 22, and I had just graduated from college when my oldest daughter was born. And I remember being in the waiting room. They didn't allow parents to go into having children. And I thought, I was in absolute panic, and absolute, yeah. And I said, you know, how can I have done this? I have no... and now it dawns on me that there is a connection between sex and having children, you know. But the... but it was a horrible thing. I felt depressed and incompetent, and how can I do this to a child? So I was a Catholic at that time, and I went to my parish priest, and I said, you know, what can I do? I am a father, but I don't know how to be a father. And he said to me, I remember his, he says, that you are a father is a fact, so you better accept it. Secondly, whether you would be a good father or a bad father is up to you. You can decide every second of your life whether you're going to be good or bad. And I said, well, that's a... And he says, you just make a decision on the moment. Is this the loving thing to do or not the loving thing to do? And that's how I learned to be a father, even though I didn't want to.
I was a little bit older, and I don't think it mattered much. To understand that immediate experience, you'd have to know a little bit that happened just preceding it. Miranda was born 4 days before our first anniversary. What immediately preceded her birth was an unexpected, unplanned, almost home birth. Fire and ambulance personnel at the house, almost birth in the ambulance. A brisk walk across the hospital, at which point we decided future children would be born at home. And in my experience, you can talk to Sandy about hers, 3 pushes and Miranda was out. What I remember very distinctly is Miranda, they had put her on a little table. I don't even know what room we were in. They were not obviously ready for us. They put her on a little table, and she was, you know, just bunched up with her hand, little fists. And they were working on Sandy, and I just remember saying to them, she must be cold. Can't you get her a blanket and give her to her mom? So that was my very first memory.
Thank you.
Well, I had the blessing with the older stepdaughter, who became married and expecting as a late teenager and chose a birthing center. So her mother and I and her husband all attended this nice little birth in a quiet room with low lighting, no sense of emergency, an absolutely holy time which changed my life to see that birth and to know that I was a grandfather and really connected with that young woman, that little girl at the time, and with her kids. All of a sudden, the sense that it was not for me to be a parent. Wow, all different.
I haven't experienced anything like that, but I do want to catch the baby, that's for sure. Or be in the water. We're having the baby at Austin Birthing Center. So it'll try a natural birth, and hopefully it goes well.
Yes, thank you. So the second question is, what has been the most rewarding and the most challenging aspect to you of being a father?
Well, over the years, you do begin to feel their love and their appreciation, which brings tears to my eyes, frankly. The biggest challenge has been to essentially control myself, to actually see that these are God's beings, and like Khalil Gibran, Own Children, that beautiful poem, that these children are not mine. They have thoughts, but then they don't need your thoughts. So I I don't regret it. I think everything really has happened for a reason. But the most challenging has been to basically control myself so that I don't teach them that, some of those habits. Mm-hmm. But it's been a beautiful relationship. I'm fortunate that they are here today. So there's so much to look forward to, but there's so much right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The most challenging is, as I said, whether I would become a loving father. Let me tell you, one time we were in an airplane going to Europe, and I had the children, my wife, and I got up to the little lobby area where the doors are, and there's no seats. And I was looking at this child, my daughter, sitting in the chair and in her seat and sleeping. And I was looking at her, and a guy got up and said, is she your daughter? And I said, yes. I noticed you love her. And that was when I realized that I had actually won. And to finish the story, a few weeks ago, I was sitting in the audience here, and when the children come here after the service, this guy was looking at a child, and I said, "Is she your daughter?" And he said, "Yes, I see you love her." And he said, "Yeah, she has a beautiful heart." And I started crying because I had actually made it. I could recognize love when I saw it.
The most challenging has been being in the work of Inner Christianity. Being in this contemplative community and being a father and a new husband and partner, if you really take all of those to heart, there's nowhere to hide. You know, I was thinking about this, that you have, in the end, I see it as a choice. I can do the work. I can turn to God in every possible moment and allow grace to take care of the suffering that has been passed down from the world, or I can pass it along to my children. And I've certainly passed on my fair share, more than my share. And there's not much I can do about that, but I can do the work, and I can continue to do the practice, and that has... there's been a lot of fruit from that, and the reward is the unique relationship that I have with each of my kids, and that is it's more than I could ever want. So,
Ken referred to the possibility of passing on suffering, and my greatest challenge was recovering from such things as an early stepdad. There were mistakes understandably made. As terms of rewards, being with young grandkids, I'm sure I don't have to tell many of you that grandparents and grandkids have a wonderful, special relationship. Those of you who don't know it and suspect it, yeah, it's true. It's really great.
I don't have any experiences yet, but I do believe that the encounters that I've, our community has some of the most beautiful human beings on planet Earth. I truly believe that. And the encounters that I've inquired about becoming a father, and I've been left with impressions on my soul that I know will show up when our daughter needs them. So I feel like we're not going to be raising the kid alone, but all of us as one will be raising her together. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not really worried.
Let's chat in a couple months. Okay, here's an interesting question. How did your understanding of God as Father, quote unquote, impact or not your own view of being a father, your God view of God being a father? How did that impact your own view of being a father? And maybe it didn't.
Can I change my chair?
Mm-hmm.
Being a father really did not have a lot of feeling of I am like God the Father to me. The Father is what I am thinking is more of a role, and you're born into it, you acquire it. But you might hear somebody say, well, they're like a father to me, and they may not be their father. But there's a relationship there that is prime and unique. So am I a father like God is a father to me? Maybe in some ways, protection, reassurance, somebody they can always go to. And I hope that continues. The whole role thing. I was getting my hair cut yesterday, and this middle-aged woman, I just asked her, you know, having been on the panel here today, I said, well, is your father still alive? And she says, yeah, both of them are. I kind of went, well, that was an interesting answer. We continued a little bit in the conversation. She said it again. I said, that is such a beautiful way of saying that. And there was no story behind it. It's just, yeah, both of them are still alive. And I'm sure there's a huge story behind it, but she chose not to go into that. So I thought it was a beautiful thing. So God is my father. God is my mother. God is my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm all three of those to my children. Anyway.
Let me tell you a story. My father, who died already many years ago, loved me a lot. And I felt his love all the time. I still feel it. And one time we were in the dinner table, and for some strange reason, I know the reason, I said to my mother a very bad answer, because she was bugging me about something, and my father turned around and hit me. I said, you don't speak to your mother like that. And by the way, if you want to know what I said, eat shit to my mother. Which is... And so he hit me, and that's the only time in his life he has ever he ever hit me, and I was startled, and I noticed he got out of the dining room table. He went to his office and started crying. Years later, and what I learned about that is that you can be, punish somebody and at the same time love them and hurt you to punish them. Years later, I was playing Hearts with my daughter. Hearts is a game of cards. And she kept beating me. and over and over and over, and making fun of me. You can't play, you're just... And so I turned around and hit her. I said, you stop saying those things about me. And I realized instantly what a mistake I had made, you know. And so I went to my room and started crying. And anyway, it dawned on me that I had to be forgiven, that I had reacted not out of love, but out of some petty little stupid humiliation that I felt that this 8-year-old was beating me consistently. But anyway, I noticed that I was not God, that I'd made mistakes. By the way, I have asked this daughter, and my wife and can attest to this, hundreds of times, do you forgive me? And she says, I don't remember any of it. But at any rate, I learned a lot about God, about me, from these incidents.
Sorry to take so long.
Not at all. I didn't grow up with an association of God as Father. I think God was much bigger and more distant. But I have learned that here. I've not given it as much thought, but your question did give me an opportunity to ponder this, and what came was the story of the prodigal son. And not so much the forgiveness aspect that is so often discussed, but what really occurred to me is what happened before, what happened during the life of the son and the experience that the son had with the father was the real inheritance that the way he must have been treated, the story doesn't talk about this, but I'm sure the way his mother was treated, his brothers were treated, and the way the servants were treated set an example that he knew he could come back, and the worst that he would be treated was as a servant, and that was just fine. So that inheritance of the way you live your life, I think, is the example that is most meaningful to me. Mm. And God the Father, and we've been taught that through Jesus' life and story. Anyhow.
I'm not sure I can associate with a father or grandfather role with this question. My earliest sense of God was a judge, and it's been only recently that I see the Father and the generosity. I'm probably misquoting, but one of the poems in Peter's Book of Daily Prayers refers to God's extravagance of generosity. I'm starting to feel that and hope that I can extend some flavor of that to grandkids. Hmm.
So my cup is overflowing with the love of this community, so I expect that the love that's overflowing will overflow to the child. And when it comes to discipline or whatever, I think I'm just going to observe the little human and then just be in wonder with it.
It's beautiful. It's good stuff, huh? Just I think we have time for a couple more questions. This is a vulnerable question, and probably all of us could have a story to this question. Whether we wished our parents or mom or dad do something different ourselves, If you could do one thing differently in your parenting, what would it be? If you could do one thing differently, what would it be?
I made reference to that poem on children. And when I first heard that, I went and say, what? What is Tim talking about? The kids are not ours. And when you are raising children in the thick of things when they're young, there's just so many duties, so many things to do. You can kind of get lost in that and get extremely mechanical. And you have a lot of influences around you that are telling you the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it, especially family. And, you know, that's met with a lot of second force. There's some great things that come out of that. But I think if I were to do anything differently, I think I would have understood that poem earlier in my life to know that, you know, these are children of God, just like we all are. And they have wonderful capabilities of making beautiful people out of themselves. And granted, the nurturing of the mother and maybe the protection and security of their father and those kind of roles are very helpful, obviously. But if I were to do anything different, I would have probably stepped in this church a little earlier, and I would probably have understood that poem, what it is really saying about what it is to be a parent.
Wow. I think if I had to do it all over, by the way, my daughters are 57, 54, and 50. So it's a long time ago. If anything, I would be more trusting, more accepting, less sort of, what time are you coming tonight? Where are you doing? Whatever, that type of thing, being so untrusting, so impatient, so critical. I would change all that if I could. I would be just more loving.
Be a more supportive husband and partner. At least that's what I'm working on now. It's a lot easier when you do it together. And, you know, I think for me, I was discovering how to be a partner and be a parent at the same time. So.
The only thing that comes to mind for me is I wish I could have been more, shall we say, generous in the sense of letting the young ones be who they are, make their own choices, not have my own, if only internal, judgments about what they were doing.
I do realize that everything's happening in the only way it can, so I'm just going to let it be.
So this will be our last question for our panel, and that is another more opportunity for vulnerability. You've touched on some of this already, but perhaps there's something you've prepared to share. What have you learned about yourself through being a dad? What have you learned about yourself by being a dad?
I make mistakes. However, children, and I hear a lot of other parents talk like this, they are so resilient and they're so forgiving. they basically just kind of don't look at those mistakes the same way that I have looked at those mistakes and how I can sort of punish myself end on end about a particular mistake. So, yeah, that here you go.
Well, what have you learned? You know, the bad thing is I have learned, you know, how how small-minded and how petty, how critical, how unaccepting, how, all these things about myself I have learned. But also, I have learned that children are very resilient, and like he said, and that in spite of me, they came out to be loving, beautiful children, which I think is a miracle. And I thank God for allowing me to have such beautiful children in spite of everything that I did to spoil it.
Common theme. So what I've learned is I'm okay, doing okay, that my kids love me just with all the warts, not necessarily in spite of them, kind of the way God does. Just a little story. When my kids were little, I had this wish that by the time they got to their teen years that they would have something to anchor onto, this kind of feeling of goodness in themselves. So when each of them would go to bed, I would say, "You are perfect just the way you are." And then I would ask them to say, "I am perfect just the way I am." And then I would say, "That's the truth. Don't you ever forget it." Well, somewhere along the line, Kira turned that around on me. And she started saying, "You are perfect just the way you are." And I would always jump and say, "That's the truth. Don't you ever forget it." And I... In a joking kind of way, and what I realized, because she was quite persistent over time, what I realized is how hard it was for me to say that. So it was a gift that I was actually receiving back.
Definitely the second half of this life, I have found that I am capable of more love than I ever imagined when I was in my 20s.
Unconditional love. That's all. I know God has always supplied all my needs. So I'm just going to try to be loving towards the human.
Amen. Before we thank these gentlemen, let's just take a moment in the silence and do some of our own inner work. Perhaps you've been touched today by something that has been said. Perhaps there's unresolved business that you have with a father or father figure. And we can just trust the Spirit in this container of silence to offer these things up now in our own souls. We give thanks for the gift of each of our fathers and the ways they have shaped us, the ways they have hurt us and taught us, and the way they have failed us and blessed us. And we trust that the Spirit can bring goodness from it all and transformation through it all to each of us, that we would continue to manifest the highest energy of love as beings on this planet for one another. Amen. Let's give a round of applause of gratitude to these guys. Thank you very much for sharing. Yeah. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Christ in every heart. See Christ in every heart. Let me see Christ in every heart. Walking the way of love. Walking the way of love. Let me walk in the way of love. See Christ in every heart. See Christ in every heart.
Amen. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands and remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth over our lives and church together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. We bless these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 10 minutes of Senri prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to the presence, action, and love of God. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
drink this cup. Now I eat this bread. Now I drink this cup. And
remember.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete, we pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let us stand and conclude our worship with song. Thank you each for being a part of this service this morning, and a special gratitude to our men who shared and fathers who blessed us. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit is with each of us until we meet again. Amen.